And thanks for being with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein. Well, you're here, our first guest in the background there. When Ken Waldman's not busy fiddling, he's writing books, 20 of them over the course of the last 36 years. Some of that time writing has been spent here in Juneau, and he's back in town for a book tour featuring his latest work, Entering Alaska Time. Ken, can you talk and fiddle at the same time?
If I spent more winters here, I certainly could.
Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
And thanks for that great music. That's really wonderful. We'll have you play a full tune if you'd be so kind a little bit later. But
sure.
Let's talk about this book, Entering Alaska Time. Tell me a little bit about that, and I know it's one of many books you've written, so tell me a little bit about what got you writing that.
Actually, its official title is Now Entering Alaska Time.
Okay.
And even though my first book came out in 2000, I started this book in early 1989. I was living in North Douglas at house of Bob Banghart and Laura Lucas. They were in Portland, Oregon that year, and I was taking care of the house a little bit while they were gone. And I thought I was going to be writing a 15 or 20 page short story set in Fairbanks, and it just got away from me. It turned out to be 70, 80 pages of a guy who is not me, but he's a fiddle player, so there's some fiddling in the book. And I thought, well, I wrote myself a novella, and it was called Potluck, which is a great Alaska title. And so I thought, well, I was proud of myself for several months, and then it dawned on me I really hadn't finished. And the next year I was a visiting assistant professor in Sitka, and I started writing a second part called December 21st, Juno. And the first part that I wrote in North Douglas, it's several years of this fella named Zan in Fairbanks. The December 21st Juno that I started writing in Sitka, and then I kept writing it in Nome, and then in Seattle over several years, is a woman named Melinda who several hours on December 21st, you know, winter solstice.
Yeah.
And then I got back to Juno, I think it was 1994, 1995, and I said, I'm going to finish this thing. And the couple, the guy in Fairbanks, the woman in Juno, got together and had several months in Nome. And I thought I would write it pretty quickly, and then I had my adventures here. Finding a place to live is a challenge, can be in Juno. And then I was starting this work that I'm doing, the touring, and I was in rural Alaska 5 weeks, and I was in a small plane crash, and that slowed me down. But on the other side of that, we're talking 1996, 97, I completed the book, and I said, well, now I'll find a publisher. And it's taken 20-some-odd years to find this publisher who is in India, and if you end up going to the kenwaldman.com and there's like a Now Entering Alaska Time page on there, you can read the introduction. And one of the stories that's in the introduction in, I think, 1999, this is 20-plus years ago.
Right.
I was on tour in the interior at a school in Nenana for about a week. And my music partner on my first CD is a woman named Andrea Cooper. And she wanted to read Alaska fiction. There's a time 20-plus years ago, pre-Seth Kantner's Ordinary Wolves, pre a lot of the wonderful contemporary fiction. There was a lot of good nonfiction. There were some mysteries, but there wasn't a lot of fiction, like which is what this book is. So I said, well, if you want, I have this 300 typewritten pages. And she said, I'll try it. And at the end of the week, which is one of the anecdotes in the introduction, she said, what is it with your country you can't get this published? And then 20-plus years later, I kept trying a publisher in India publish this book.
Well, it's really interesting the way you talk about the development of a story and a book. It's almost like these characters just take you, like they meet up. They take you in a direction that, you know, you're not – it's not like you have an outline. How do you do it?
Well, that's a true writerly question. I was living the big yellow house known as the Coast Guard house on Irwin right by Cope Park. And I was in like this attic room. And I remember the beginning in Fairbanks, I think was good. In the Juno part's better. And then as this couple gets to Nome, the story, and I had lived in Nome, but it kind of got away from me in a good way where I just go, I'm curious what's going to happen next with these people. And that's what – there's a famous line, no surprise to writer, no surprise to reader. And if I'm being surprised writing it, anybody reading it's going to go, well, I want to see what's going to happen next. And, of course, you know, you're going to be crafting it to – but I remember, you know, it's 20-plus years ago. I mean, 25 years, really, that I was finishing it. I remember being here in Juneau in weather like this, yeah. You know, trying to finish this and just going, wow, I wonder what's going to happen. I got real excited. And then, you know, over the years, I, you know, pared it down a little, revised. But that was the genesis of this
book.
When you say
like you don't know what's going to happen, is it dialogue that moves that along or is it?
Both dialogue and plot, and I.
How does plot come out of? Because to me, it would seem like plot would just come out of an intellectual process from the writer, a very intentional thing. You want the characters to do this thing next. Dialogue I could get right because it would be okay. I'm going to interpret a conversation's back and forth, and oh, this person would say this. It leads you in a direction.
Well, this couple had history. So you follow this guy in Fairbanks and you follow this woman in Juneau and then you put them together in Nome, which I don't know how many, you know, we're in Juneau. So folks, you know, who are listening in have spent time in Nome, lived in Nome, maybe born in Nome, and maybe you've been out there, maybe not. But
yeah, I have, yeah.
Rural Alaska is a different place than here, which is different than the interior. It's different than Anchorage. What a crazy, big, wonderful state. And as they got together with their peculiarities, with their quirks, things happened. And then even though this fellow wasn't me, he had a job at the branch campus, which I had. He was the history. He had a different job.
But sounds a little like you.
A little like me. He's a fiddle player who worked on the campus. Right. But he had a boss that I had a really wonderful, good boss in Nome. His boss... I'm trying to think what happened. This is going to sound crazy, but I remember being, and I may have been at Foodland. I may have been somewhere where there was a candy bar like Viola Crumpet or something. But anyway, I end up coming up with this English character, Viola Crumb, and I have a friend who is British, and I somehow took that and made this boss kind of a crazy person, where she wanted an all-woman campus, and except. This guy was there because the person who they hired, who was a woman, got off the plane in Nome and just got back on. One of the famous old stories. She had come from the Midwest and like, I'm not going to stay here. So it was a bit of a, you know, a bit of a controversy, him getting there. And everybody is kind of warning him, you know, you have a crazy boss here. And and that was not planned, but that became one of the issues is that, she was difficult, but then he was making the best of it. But he's having to work extra hard just to be so that she's not going to be too critical. And then they have their story. But I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, yeah.
But she moves up there too. And she had been a high school teacher here. And stuff happened where it's like she leaves here to be with him. And suddenly, because she's a competent person and she's in rural Alaska, actually, it's kind of like the way it is right now. I was just in Haines and Skagway this past week, and here we're short of people. Yeah. We need people, but in rural Alaska, you always could use somebody competent. So she was there giving up a job here, which she was really shy to give up, but she says, well, I'm going to go there for this relationship. And within a week, she has a part-time job at the newspaper. She's part-time at the hospital. She's part-time doing this. And then things even go further with that. And it's I've lived in these places, and, you know, it's very Alaskan.
You've lived in all these different places in Alaska. How does being a musician affect your entry into communities? I would think it almost gives you a bit of an entree into social scenes and into meeting different people.
It's better than having a dog. Easier. Well, actually, last night, talking about that, you know, it's Thursday. They have the open mic at the Alaskan because I'm doing the event tomorrow, so I'm wanting to get word out. But I go, oh, there's now the new Crystal Saloon. So there's the open mic there. And I went there to show the book, to mention that I'm doing this on Saturday. I played a few tunes. And what was really funny, one of the crazy things is I knew them peripherally, is, you know, Andrew Heist and Aaron Heist. They were there. And somehow we started talking at the end of the night. And Andrew grew up in the same town that I grew up in. I mean, this suburb of Philadelphia, like the same suburb. So that was just, but because I had the fiddle, it's an entree in. Even if you don't know, you still do.
Yeah.
It's
Well, speaking of which, would you mind maybe playing one of the tunes you played last night? Or
yeah, I could play.
That'd be
I
great.
Could play.
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, let's see what I'll
or play. Whatever you'd
I
like.
I will play.
Whatever you want to play.
I will play what I mentioned when I first got on stage there last night. I said the last time I was in Juneau on stage was 2019 Folk Festival. I think it was Saturday night. And I was there on stage with Tom Paul, Jack Fontanella, and there was a visitor, a guy named Willie Carlisle, who I was on tour with. Who was actually, I think, on a red carpet. You have a red carpet
concert series. Concert
yeah,
with
him.
Right.
So we were on stage, and one of my, I guess, bucket list things in my life is years ago, and, you know, 20-plus years ago, when I was living in Juneau and finishing up this book and doing what I was doing, Jack Fontanella, Jack and Jenna were in Douglas, and they had a fire, and they lost virtually everything. And I, as people do in Juneau, they found him a place to live. They raised some money, and Jack had a guitar the next week. And I was leading a writing workshop, and I wrote a poem called Burnt Down House for Jack Fontanella about what the instruments sounded like before they burnt up. And then I made up a fiddle tune with his permission called Burnt Down House, and I played this. The last thing I played in Juneau was what I played last night, and I'll play Burnt Down House for Jack Fontanella.
This is Ken Waldman.
You're all at the open mic last night at the Crystal Saloon.
Were people joining in?
They were a little
bit
like,
house.
What's this guy doing? Well, actually, when I recorded that with a lot of shouting of everybody
yes.
going burnt down house.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I could see it. Well, Ken, thanks so much for coming in and telling us a little bit about the book that's a long time in the making. It's now entering Alaska time, and you've got an event coming up?
Yeah, tomorrow night. It's going to be kind of an open house from 6:30 to 9 o'clock downtown at McFeeters Hall, where I'm going to be there with books, CDs. I've written to some people personally to say, come on by with instruments. I have a flyer that, what does it say? A post-Alaska folk festival event featuring old-time Appalachian-style string band music. That means plenty of special guests. Maybe one of them is you. There'll be some storytelling, some poetry, music making, visiting. And as they say, COVID mitigation measures will be in effect at McFeeters Hall. And if you want more information, you can call me. You can look up my kenwaldman.com website and get in touch, and I hope you all come on by.
That sounds like a great time. And McFeeters Hall, beautiful.
Oh.
Speaking of burnt down house.
Yes.
I mean, McFeeters Hall, unfortunately and tragically, did burn down. However, it's been rebuilt and is a beautiful new facility.
Yeah.
And so it's great acoustics and all that.
Old one.
Yeah,
I
know.
The new one, but
well, the old one had its own kind of funky charm,
yes,
didn't it?
Yes.
But the new one is really beautiful, and you'll have a great time.
Yeah.
You'll have a great time there.
Thank you very much for allowing me to come on by and sharing my fiddling and little bit with the book,
too. All right. Well, safe travels on your book tour. Can you play us out here?
Yeah. Maybe I'll play a last waltz.
Okay. A last waltz as we listen to Ken Wellman. Once again, his book is called You Can Start
Now Entering Alaska Time.
Now Entering Alaska Time.
I'll play a waltz I made up called Waltz Into the Light.
Okay. It's his book once again. Yeah, Now Entering Alaska Time. Tomorrow night, what time? What time at McFeeters Hall?
6:30 to about 9. But if people come a little earlier or stay a little later, that's okay. They can come and go as they please.
Sounds great. That's Ken Wellman. Safe travels on your book tour, Ken.
Thank you.